you have it?
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Suck so bad, so unbalanced, blah. And I just quit, never play it ever again.
What are you doing in your free time? Sit around knitting.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 38. I'm Nick Przanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
Taco, taco, burrito, burrito.
And Charles Galba. Charles is running out of things to say, apparently.
I just need to make noise. You don't know I'm here. It's fine.
So Steve, you just finished up a 70-minute long Dota 2 match.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was screaming the entire time, and I reported two people.
Excellent.
For being bad. That's not an option, but I just like make up things like I like report them for verbal abuse and say they're anti-Semitic or something. Something that hopefully will get them banned.
Good God.
That's terrible.
I don't care, man.
You can't report them for intentional feeding. That's what I usually do.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're not feeding, usually what I report them for is like I say they're pinging all over the map to piss people off or something, which they're probably not doing. But I want them to get banned. I gotta sell it a little bit.
Lay the ban hammer down.
We won anyways, so
good. And then you immediately came home and broke glasses and cooked bacon.
Yeah, I came back on my bike like 100 miles an hour, just going straight down the street. It's like raining out. Came back, just smashed all the shit in my room. Didn't give a fuck. If it was in the way, my microphone just threw it on the ground.
speaking of that, at Keep On Running, he tweeted us and said from the thumbnail the picture of all of us in Skype last week.
Yeah.
He goes from the thumbnail I was thinking, man, the guy in the middle is smoking a massively big joint.
That's
because your microphone looks like a.
That was my microphone, right?
Yeah, it was your microphone, or it could be a giant joint.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was a giant joint, but. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
No. No, it was not. You'd be wicked high after that.
I'd probably have much more clever things to say. They may not be on topic, but...
We would all just sit here and breathe for an hour.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 39, The Breathing Podcast.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, the sleep aid Bennett.
This is completely unrelated. Completely unrelated, but there was a band that to help fund their thing, they released an album on Spotify that was literally just silence for like the whole album, and they just got people to stream it overnight.
What?
For like weeks, and they made like 20 grand off of it.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean,
there's money in it. Make an album.
There's actually some guy, I can't remember his name, it's like John something, like he was one of the first like artistic musicians, and he just like his piece was just literally blank bars, like, and he would go up to the piano and just like put it down and open it and then sit there and then like turn the page on time and then like and then he would walk away, and I was like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, that's just flat up just dumb.
Yep.
You're gonna make some people mad.
That's why modern art just makes me mad.
Yeah, it's like submitting a blank canvas and being like, it's just is. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the fuck?
It's like submitting a blank canvas and then farting on the blank canvas and being like, stinky canvas.
Charles, I think you're underselling that. piece of art. Yeah.
I would actually go. I would pay to go see that. Charles is stinky candies.
A premier art event in the summer.
Mm-hmm. You have a whole exhibit of just art you just fart on, and that's it.
No, not just art, but the beers that I drink to make
it. Charles was describing to us earlier how he's like basically a human stinky balloon.
A balloon that hasn't been tied off on the end.
And the worst is when you can't erupt, and you're just like increasing your, like the balloon is just getting more and more full. It's terrible. It's a terrible feeling.
It is. But then, like,
and then eventually you're just like, alright, it's time, and then you just fart for like a minute.
Either that, or the pressure builds up so much that you're afraid you're gonna like shit yourself.
That's the worst.
You know, it's just like somebody punching a whoopee cushion as hard as they can.
So there's definitely that fart where you feel like you're gonna poop, but it's just a fart.
That sucks. We're adults. You know, you get like all prepared to take a dump, and it's just gas. Like, oh, I did all this work for nothing.
That actually
sounds like you're spraying an air hose to your chest, clean up the siding in your house. It's like,
that actually is the worst when there's like going to the bathroom at work and there's like so much pressure built up and you don't actually poop, but you make the worst like farting noise in the toilet. And you're like, God damn it! People heard this, and I know they did.
Never can hear you.
Never laughs at you. Or they're jealous.
Yep. That's why you walk out and you're just like proud of yourself. Like, put my hands on my hips and.
But seriously, you gotta take advantage of that. It's probably got some valuable gases going out of your body.
Mm-hmm. It's an industry.
I wonder if it would float.
Industry into its own. Anyway.
We should progress.
Way off topic. Getting into some news items from this past week, PS4 console units are already selling at a profit for Sony, which is...
Weren't they already selling at a profit? Weren't they selling the consoles at a profit individually?
Well, I think they were subsidizing it slightly, but...
Yeah, but now they're... Not much. Yeah, they're officially profitable. I don't know, nobody knows how much, but they are profitable for each console unit that they sell. They're making a profit, so that's big, you know, to have it be this early on in the console cycle and have it already being profitable.
Yep. How many, 6 months? Is that how long it's been?
6 months, yeah.
Doesn't feel like that long. It feels longer.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about a lot past 6 months.
Just because of all of the nonsense that we were dealing with when they first came out.
Yeah.
But that's good for Sony.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Microsoft reacts to this and brings out their numbers. Because I don't know, especially with the Kinect not being a part of it, I'd like to see...
Well, I wonder how much they actually, if they break even... Or if they made a profit on each console just without the Kinect, because maybe Sony made a profit on each console, but not now they're actually making a profit with all the like the actual fixed costs that they needed to deal with. But it's interesting.
Yeah. The Sony's actually been saying that they believe that the PlayStation 4 is likely to pass the profits of the PlayStation 2, which PlayStation.
That's a bold claim.
That
right
is
there.
That is a bold claim, since the PlayStation 2 is the best selling console of all time, and I think they sold.
Yeah.
I think it's something like 155 million units or something.
That's because it was really the only one for a while, and then Xbox came out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was like N64, and then PlayStation. And we're out at the same time, then PlayStation 2 came, and everyone's like, alright, that's it. Time to get the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also dropped the price, like, drastically toward the end, so I know they sold, like, they dropped it down to $99 for the PlayStation 2. Like,
that's so cheap.
So PlayStation 2 was still like selling crazy fast when especially when the PlayStation 3 came around, and PlayStation 3 was like $700.
Oh yeah, man, I remember that. That was crazy. I'm glad we've like come down to more reasonable prices for new consoles, mm-hmm. even though $500 is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
Agreed. You can buy a Galaxy S5 for $500.
I will never do that. The other Sony news from this past week. Sony's formed a joint venture in China for PlayStation, so they will officially be selling the PlayStation 4 in China. They haven't said when yet, but Microsoft has already kind of done, has already formed like a separate company or whatever, or a separate venture in China, so they can sell the Xbox One, and I think they're starting to sell Xboxes in September. So
that's big news, because I'm pretty sure consoles were like banned in China for years.
Years, because the reasoning was because they said that video games were decreasing the mental capacity of their children.
Yeah.
Well, it's also censorship.
Yeah.
It's like, what games do you allow in China? Call of Duty Ghosts?
Basically, because China's a villain in like every game that there is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's gonna have to change, because I'm sure they probably did that only because China didn't actually allow people to play video games over there, so it was like, meh.
Well, I mean, people play video games in Russia, and they're the villain in every game, so...
Russia and China.
But I think they accept it. They're like, yeah.
I think they kind of know that if they play an American game.
I talk like this, so...
I'm the villain, and I will kill you if I have a chance.
But I think for, like, Microsoft and Sony, it's like they have just unlocked like the highest growth market in the world, you know, so for them they're just seeing dollar signs everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course intellectual property is worth zero, so they're gonna be,
that's true,
think about that.
Yeah, but still, people, like, even if they just sell the consoles, like, it's
true. Yeah, I mean, it would be, that's right, I mean, like, knockoff games, sure, but I feel like knockoff consoles are a lot less likely. Like, you're not going to be able to buy a knockoff PS4 that actually plays PS4 games.
Right. Right, exactly.
True.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, because, like, they haven't had nobody in China has had, well, you know, in quotation marks, nobody in China has had a console for however, like, a decade or however long it's been, so... Basically, it's just going to be exponential growth for both companies, for Xbox and PlayStation. So it's crazy. It'd be hilarious to be like China, and in China, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 have sold 50 million copies.
Yeah.
Like, damn it!
Yeah, it's going to be even more interesting is what that means for the trend of video games, because the cultural market is going to be so different from, like, the just the culture of video gaming in general. I feel like all of those games, it's going to be like, I don't want to stereotype, but it's kind of like, well, what is the game going to look like? What do the Chinese enjoy doing? Like,
right.
Their cultural phenomenons anyway right now, how is that going to translate into, like, is it going to be Mahjong? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Because it's probably would be some variation of, like, I think Facebook is banned, right? So this would be some variation on social media, video games, because it has to be social.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because I'm sure a lot of the like the apps and aspects of the consoles currently, like, the consoles will be allowed, but what on the consoles will actually be allowed to be used will be interesting.
Yeah. Very cool.
In movie news, the Warcraft movie has officially completed filming, with the release scheduled for March of 2016.
I'm like frightened by how bad this movie's gonna be.
I'm frightened really about the fact that it's already done. Didn't it just out like that it was gonna happen like 3 months ago?
What are you talking about? Clancy Brown is in this movie.
Oh god.
Yeah.
He was in the Highlander, excuse me. He was the crewman.
And he was in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, he was the Raiden.
He was Raiden, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, the cast...
No, that wasn't Clancy Brown.
Yeah, it was.
Which one are you talking about?
Pretty sure it was Raiden.
No, he was not Raiden.
And then, I think...
Another one.
Oh, I know he was in the second one.
I think he was...
I'm going to look it up.
Shao Kahn, maybe? Maybe. I don't think he was in that one.
Raiden in the movies was a white guy. Is Clancy Brown a white guy?
Yeah.
He was, what the hell? He
Christopher Lambert.
TV series.
Okay. Christopher Lambert is the guy that was Raiden. Yeah.
But in the TV series, he was Raiden.
Okay.
Bizarre. I never watched the TV series Mortal Kombat.
Dang.
In 96. God, his hair looks... He looks so peaceful in this picture. Totally different from every other thing. Holy crap. I see his belly. What the fuck's happening?
Charles, what site have you made it onto?
IMDb. There's your own Clancy Brown belly.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Charles made it.
I mean, for the rest of the cast, there's Travis Fimmel. Fimmel? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he's from Vikings, which I don't think anyone saw.
And then I was like, this is dumb.
Paula Patton. She was in something semi-famous, but not much.
I remember this guy, Clancy Brown, who was in Starship Troopers, and he was in Shawshank Redemption.
That's what he was in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's most famous for Shawshank is the warden.
Definitely going to be like Uther or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, the only like pictures I've seen of it showed like the throne room in like the Alliance capital city, I forget what it's called. You know, with like the Alliance banners and whatnot.
It's live action, right? It's not like...
I believe so, like, parts of it are, but I mean, if there's, like, Torin, then that's gonna look really horrible. I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Do what they did for Legend with Tim Curry. They're just gonna put horns on somebody and, like, put a shitload of makeup on them.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
It's actually just gonna be, like, a gameplay footage of World of Warcraft with
their voices dubbed.
It's like the same animations when you speak in the game. They're like, it's like there's just that one animation from the game. It just keeps going to it at different spots. It's literally like a YouTube, like a fan like video that they made. Oh god. I mean,
the only way I could see this even being remotely successful is if they like hired the Blizzard like cinematics group to do the CG and like that was and everyone was a voice actor. Like the fact that it's live action, just I don't know. I have a looming suspicion it's gonna be awful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that.
Well, it's
we pretty much do.
Said you said March 2016.
Yep.
All right. Well, they got what? 2 years of post-production, or a year and a half of post-production.
It's going to be a lot of editing. There's going to be the director's cut. It's going to be like, I'm totally spacing on the movie. Harrison Ford, Blade Runner. They're going to have four different versions of the same movie.
Right.
Well, yeah. I guess Colin Farrell's not in the movie, huh?
No.
I remember when they reported that, but...
Well, he's just not displayed right now. There's only, they've only got like 10 actors on that list.
I think he probably saw it and nope the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, nope.
Yeah, there's only 10 actors because they each play three characters.
Actually, the entire cast is just Clancy Brown.
He's even the girls and everything and all like the extras. The thing is, this is like, this could be career suicide, because if this isn't good, you'll have, I don't know, like, however many subscribers of WoW, you know, like, 10 million angry nerds, like, butthurt nerds trying to kill you when they see you. I feel like this is a dangerous gamble. You could be, like, the hero, the savior of nerds, or you could be, like, nerds and nerd, like, enemy, like, target number one, just, like, getting shot at in the street.
I really don't understand the motivation for making this, like...
No.
Yeah.
Like, you know, are they trying to cash
in? Any cinematic in any Blizzard games is going to be better than this movie is going to be.
Yeah. I don't know, hopefully we're all surprised. Hopefully it's, like, the best movie ever.
Yep.
Well, if it's the best video game movie ever, it might get, like, a 6.0.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't be hard to be the best video game movie ever.
I feel like we need to have that be a topic at some point.
Yeah.
The best video game movies.
Yeah, oh yeah, we definitely have to talk about that.
Or the worst video game movies.
The guy who played...
We're just talking about Super Mario Brothers for an hour.
Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, the guy that played Super Mario in the live-action Mario movie.
Yeah,
he just died. Died
at the age of 71. Mario is dead.
Wait, he was that old?
Well, the movie was made like 30 years ago. 20.
That's crazy.
I did not realize he was that old.
24 years
ago. Did he die in the toilet?
That's funny.
He gets stuck in a pipe and no one found him for days.
The movie was 20 years ago.
Bob Hoskins is his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years ago?
71.
How many years ago was it made?
20 years ago. He was 51 years old when he made that.
Damn it. I never pictured Mario as like a 51-year-old.
He was also Shmi or whatever in Hook.
Yeah.
Shmi.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit, too. Yeah, that was his big movie.
Yeah.
Damn, man, that's cray. He was 51-year-old Mario? How did we not catch that? That was kind of a little ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
He's got experience. How do you think he did all that stuff? Young Mario would have died in the lava. Killed by booze. Eaten.
You're right.
Moving on.
Facts of life.
ZeniMax is apparently taking Oculus Rift to court over IP infringement. Which...
doesn't surprise me.
Because aren't the Oculus guys are a bunch of ex-ZeniMax guys, right?
Well, it's I forget his name, but he was the head of ID Software, which got bought by ZeniMax. I don't know, I can't think of his name, but he then kind of went in like a co-venture where he started working for. He became like a VP or something for Oculus Rift and helped them. And finally, he decided to just leave ZeniMax and join Oculus Rift full time. And since then, they basically said that he like violated all these agreements, and you know they're making claim to some of the intellectual property that Oculus Rift has come up with for their newest headset. So. And, you know, originally they had mentioned that they had, like, put out a news release, but now they're like, officially taking action, which I guess gives, you know, lends some credibility to their claim, the fact that they're willing to go to court over it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's, you know, they didn't really come out of the woodwork until Oculus got bought for...
A billion.
You know,
or however many.
But at the same time, you know, who knows.
Can you imagine if... like Facebook just bought this company that, like, ultimately had to be shut down because of IP infringement.
Yeah. It was just gutted. It's like everything that they worked for. Though it doesn't seem like the stuff that was Doesn't seem like the very core of the virtual reality was what they were after. It was more like
the hardware,
some other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would. They would never shut it down because they know that that thing's going to be a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
So they would, you know, they would negotiate to get like a huge percentage of it, but they would never shut it down.
Yeah,
just silly. All these seeing is going into Chuck E. Cheese, and they're like, "We got to get a piece of the action."
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese owes me 15,000 tickets.
Do it all in trade. I need 1 trillion of those pit balls. Dump them in my yard. Fill my house with them.
So many Chinese finger traps.
I probably ate like 10,000 Tootsie Rolls at that place.
Yeah, because that was like the easiest thing to buy. It was always those like penny candy items.
Yeah, I mean, it was either that or like spend 500 points on something useless, like
a snap bracelet or something.
Yeah. Bouncy ball.
Bouncy balls like, fuck it. Throw once and then never see again because right. They just went flying.
Gak. Like, how stupid is gak? Like, come on. It's like goo in a can. You open it, you pour it out, and you're like, well, shit's goo's everywhere. You throw it out. Probably gak.
Do you guys remember Floam?
Yeah. It was like the little beads. It was like,
yeah.
It was
shapeable.
Yeah, I remember that. But it dried out and then it smelled really disgusting.
And wasn't everything brought to us by Nickelodeon?
Yeah, I know.
It was all brought to us by Nickelodeon.
Like, somebody at Nickelodeon legitimately convinced a bunch of kids that a green goo was worth buying. Like, it was like water and cornstarch with green food coloring.
It was a perfect audience, because we're all raised on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're all like, green goo, sweet, nice.
Right.
Slap it around a little.
Someone at Nickelodeon had, like, a bizarre obsession with, like, ooze and
because
goo.
They still do those shows, like, People's Choice Awards for kids, and they pour gack on, that goo on everyone.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any
sense.
They just
got vats of it on the ceiling everywhere.
I just, like, I wanted... What was that show where it was, like, a panel of four semi-celebrities. And there was, like, one kid that...
did a guess what they could do.
Yeah, this kid, like, invented, like... I invented the hat toilet paper holder. And it was like, that's not even a real thing. What are you going to use that for?
What was the show where they had to, like, use the Q-tip on the giant nose?
Double Dare?
Double Dare.
Yeah, Double Dare. All sorts of goo everywhere.
Such a good like explanation. Dad used that giant Q-tip on that nose. So true, though. I mean,
it was a Q-tip on the nose, Q-tip on the ear, and they had all this like they had actual disgusting looking wax inside with hair in it. It was like it was gross. Yeah. They had these long like I don't know if it was pipe cleaners like painted black. But they had hair in there.
We're such a sensationalist like childhood, like green goo and ears, and like the crag rock, or
the aggro crag,
We like thought that was the coolest thing ever. It was a fucking like styrofoam mountain in a warehouse somewhere.
It's fine. That British woman named Mo was the one that was like. The host of everything. Well, no, there was the other guy too, but she was like the one that was actually saying what was going on. Michael O'Malley was like commentating, and then the other woman was the one that would explain how everything worked.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to climb this and find the crag, but be careful of these plastic.
Like boulders that roll down.
down.
They tell you every time, and you're like, dude, we've seen this show like 30 times, the same fucking course. Like, you haven't changed them.
And I remember all the kids were like, they made them all wear like helmets and knee pads and elbow pads and like wrist guards. And
it was so difficult to get through it because of that, like, encumbrance.
And then there was like the styrofoam blocks falling on them, like.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always thought Legends of the Hidden Temple was better.
Yeah,
totally.
It was better because there was no goo. The goo was stupid. I always hated the goo. It's like, really? This is how you're gonna measure whether they won or not, it's like you're just gonna dump like 100 gallons of green goo on them.
What a waste of goo that is.
Yeah.
A lot of goo down the drain.
You know, I thought a lot about that Grey Goo shirt, and I don't think I can wear it anymore.
Why?
Because Grey Goo, like, what does that bring up in your mind? Like, it's disgusting. It's like, what the hell is that shirt? Grey Goo? Really? That's the name of your game?
Sounds like some weird ragu knockoff.
No, it sounds like you're sitting in your computer savaging your putt. That's what it sounds like. You're doing it so much, you made a shirt for yourself about it. Like, why would you name your game Grey Goo?
It's a very good question.
It's a valid concern, Charles. You should probably talk to developers and make them.
I'm never gonna wear that shirt. Ever. I'm gonna give it to somebody and have them wear it.
Yeah. All right. There's absolutely no segue into this whatsoever. I'm just cutting us off. Our topic of the week this week is how the new social network aspects of the new generation of consoles might change the gaming environment. Some examples of things that are social on the new consoles is the ability to use your real name, streaming, sharing, Facebook and Twitter integration, and I threw on there the fact that MMOs are now on console, or coming to console, because that's kind of a brand new experience for console gamers. I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's changing. Like, I think that games are definitely getting much more publicity, free publicity. So marketing is, you know, I mean, that's basically what all of this social networking type stuff is it's all just marketing.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's kind of, a lot of these things have kind of already been on, like, PCs, and now they're just kind of, you know, especially when it comes to, like, streaming to Twitch and stuff like that, it's finally, like, baked into consoles. Whereas, I feel like kind of the Facebook and Twitter thing, that's just like they're trying to jam it down our throats. You know, I don't know that there's that many people who are like, need to tweet when they get an achievement or something. That's kind of like a new occurrence. Maybe on like smartphones and stuff like that, but generally speaking, I don't think there's anyone who's like eager to put that out there or like on Facebook. Like, you want your whole family to know that you're wasting away in front of a video game. Yeah.
But, woo woo, ding ding ding.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I was just gonna say I've been, you know, I don't post a ton of pictures because on Twitter or anything, but when I do, it's usually like, you know, it is kind of neat because it's like instead of going to a site like IGN or, you know, GameSpot or any of those other sites to see like, oh, what cool Easter eggs or what cool like what are some like hidden gems in the game, and instead you're kind of finding it out through either real friends or like, you know, your Twitter friends or followers or whatever. And I mean, like, just for instance, like this past weekend, I've been playing the Wolfenstein the New Order, and there's a part where you can go like lay down in there's a bed, and you can like basically start a nightmare, and
I heard about this.
It brings you into like the original Wolfenstein game.
Hmm.
But you have all of your regular weapons, and you can still lean and do everything. But yeah, it's all like that.
That's cool.
That really blocky, terrible textured old yeah. Wolfenstein style.
2D sprites that are always looking at you.
Exactly, exactly. So that was pretty cool. But I don't know, like, that's really the only thing that I post. I do occasionally. I'll post when I do, when I get a platinum trophy, because there are a couple people that I know that, follow that.
Yeah, I don't think it's stupid. I mean, I think it's a neat feature. I mean, it's cool to, like, be able to share, like, if you do something cool or if something funny happens, or, you know, if you want to make a guide to show other people to do something. I mean, clearly there's tons of uses for it. I just don't think that there was anyone who was like, finally, now Facebook and Twitter are on my console. Now I can buy one and feel complete with myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody that feels like they can't break away. It's like, oh, I can finally, like, have Facebook included and I never have to be off of Facebook.
Right.
I think for me, the majority of the way that's affected the way I game is just, I mean, case in point, the Facebook group that we started where we were just talking about other games. Like, I think I played more different games than I would have otherwise, just because I've learned about some of the other games that all of them were playing. But as far as, like, the patterns of when I play games, that hasn't changed. And I don't necessarily share, like, unless something is horribly wrong or ridiculously awesome, there's really no reason for me to share it there's really no reason for me to share it.
Yeah.
And I think that stands true for a lot of things. It's like, unless something is, like, superlative or shitty.
Right.
Yeah, I think part of the problem also is that in terms of, like, social networking and games, there kind of already exists a structure for that. Like, you have Xbox Live, you have PlayStation Network, you have Steam, you know, there's already outlets through which you can, like, or, I mean, Battle.net. You have all your friends on all those different individual gaming networks, so you don't really need a... I mean, I guess it's cool to, like, have, like, a centralized thing. I guess Facebook is a lot more centralized, but it's not like you're Facebook friends with everyone on your Steam list or everyone on your Xbox Live list. I feel like that's, you know, takes it to a whole nother level. And I guess that kind of gets back to the, you know, the having real names in games, which it's kind of weird. It's, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you look at YouTube as a model, when they switched to Google G+ integration, and, you know, people were posting on YouTube and all of a sudden had their real names, it was kind of like a jolt back to reality. Like, you couldn't hide behind a username anymore. And I guess they've since gotten rid of that. You know, it doesn't automatically default to your real name, but maybe it would be a good thing. Maybe it would force people not to be assholes when they play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the best part.
And actually, one of our listeners, Corey Jackson, also the host of the Bros podcast, he says it has definitely made some more personal experiences, speaking of social integration in the consoles. He said, I've made some good friends through getting to know people from social media and the new features in next-gen consoles as well. Meaning, like, showing real names and whatnot. And I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I think a couple of us are friends with him on Facebook, and he's actually joined our Facebook group and everything. He said also, it seems people are a lot less douchebaggy when their real name is floating out there, which is exactly what you were just talking about, Tim. So.
Yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, I don't know how true that is, because I feel like, you know, it's true that, like, if your name is there, you can't, like, do something stupid, but, like, if someone wants to be an idiot, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to tie their name to their account.
Yeah.
Right.
Just think about all the people at PAX. I mean, even when you're right there, you're still going to be a dick.
Yeah.
Think about the Ghostbusters.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, that's like real life.
This is like real life. I mean, you're not...
Dicks in real life, dicks on
the... You're not going to tell someone they're a noob and that they should, like, you know, castrate themselves to make everyone better.
You may.
I don't think I would say that to someone in real life, but I would most definitely.
Who knows what Amika was telling those kids?
but the thing is, like, I don't know. People have, myself included, have, like, no balls in real life compared to, like, what they have on a video game.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have a reputation to that can follow you online, then there's a lot less incentive to, like, behave well. Where, you know, when you have the ability to kind of hide behind a gamer tag or a username, then there's not that much incentive to, you know, be nice to other people.
Yeah.
Right. Well, except so it's like, yeah. Except on Xbox One, now they've kind of developed a reputation system, which I don't exactly know how it works, but, you know, it rewards people. Well, you know.
No, I like that concept, and I think that's something that, like, Dota tries to sort of do, where they have, like, reporting people, and they have, you can commend people, so you can sort of, like, give them, like, positive feedback, but they don't really have a lot of negative feedback. I mean, reporting is really for people that are just, like, complete terrible, and I think I think the only time they ever take action on people that get reported is if, like, they get reported, you know, X amount of times in a certain amount of time. But I think that's, like, a really good, like system, because it does force you to sort of be respectful, and it forces you to be, I don't know, it just forces you to sort of, like, think about how you act, and if the game is good enough that, like, it matchmaking, like, has a matchmaking system, it shouldn't be, like, you should never get a negative, like, feedback because of your skill level.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's, like, one of the big downsides, right? It's, like, someone sucks, so you just, like, say, you give them a thumbs down because they're just bad. And then it's just, like, well, that's not helping them, right? So, like, I think that's the one reason why, like, games haven't gone in that direction, is because they don't want their community to, like, just, like, shit on people that are, like, you know, just not, are new to the game, and then they just get a bunch of bad votes, and then they're, like, now they're down with, like, a bunch of people playing people that suck, and you know what I mean? So it's, like,
right.
I understand, like, why a lot of games don't do that, but I think, like, it's cool to have I think it would be nice if games would implement this more where you, or, like, systems in general, you know, would implement this more where, like, you had sort of a priority system, you know? Like, you could go play with all the other guys that get, like, shit, like, reviews, you know? It's like, you guys can all, like, bitch to each other, like, although I guess that could be a little toxic, but, I mean, but, you know what I mean, it's like, it'd be nice that, like, you get, like, a reputation, and then you play with guys with your reputation, and it affects, like, how you play, and, or what you get, and I think that's a really good idea, and that's a way to get around, even with anonymity.
Yeah.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
I want to stay Donald for as long as possible, so I don't want my real name to be on the game.
Yeah,
I have my like on PlayStation. It's like, you know, people ask for, like, name requests or whatever, and so only people on your friends list will actually be able to see your name if you've given them permission. Yeah. And I, you know, I give out if people send me a request, then I give them my name, because it's like, my name's out here on this podcast every day, so it's like,
yeah,
I don't really care, but
that's true.
But at the same time, I don't do it for every single person. I don't ask people every single time.
Yeah, for a while, I think Blizzard, I remember when they first started, when they kind of, like, detached all the individual games and started forcing everything through Battle.net, they had, I think it was Real ID or Open ID or something, some new ID thing where you could, like, put your real name in.
Right.
It was kind of confusing, and I don't know how they've resolved it since, because you know, you just have one friends list. But I, you know, there's a couple of people on my friends list, like people I know, their name, it's like their real name on my friends list, and any game they log into, they show up.
Yep.
But then at the same time, I have some other friends who, it only shows their username, you know. So it's good in some ways. I think it's good because it, like, I mean, if you're really forgetful, you'll know exactly who your friends are. Like, I have a bunch of friends on Steam. I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. It's probably someone I know at some point, but I totally forgot what their username was. But that, you know, to have their real name linked to it kind of makes me remember, oh, okay, it's them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's good, I guess, if you're I mean, I don't know. I guess there's two sides to it. But it's one thing if they're on your friends list and it has their real name. It's another thing if it's just, like, free-floating. You know, like, and anyone can see your real name. I guess I don't personally have any... I don't care if someone sees my real name, but I guess, you know, you shouldn't have to put it out there if you don't want to.
Right. What do you guys think about, what do you get, I mean, do you think the MMOs on console, on, the new consoles is going to change the whole social aspect at all?
I think there's already been, I mean, I think it was, EverQuest, I forget what it was on consoles. Phantasy Star Online was on consoles. I mean, there's been a handful of MMOs in the past, that were on consoles. I don't think it's going to be anything new, but I think that, you know, maybe, I don't know. It's just a different outlet, it's a different thing. I think maybe Elder Scrolls will be, it hasn't panned out on PC, but, you know, it could be big on consoles.
Yeah, it could be huge on consoles, because, I
mean,
it just seems like it would be very good. Yeah. There's just so many, I feel like PC market for MMOs is saturated, and much of the console market is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to see how it shakes up. You know, I don't know what resources they give console players in terms of, like, creating guilds and stuff like that. But, you know, there's a lot of, like, drama and a lot of complexity in PC MMOs, and I'm sure that stuff kind of carry over.
Yeah. Well, I posed the question to some of our listeners on Twitter. Have the new social features affected the way you game? And at Keep On Running said, they haven't at all. To me, gaming is my me time. I don't want to tweet/Facebook/stream it. I just want great games, not apps.
Yeah. I concur with that.
Yeah.
I mean...
But at the same... You know, I think he's right. It should be a priority. But at the same time, it's nice to have, like, a... You know, if you want to come back to the real world, you can...
Yep. I mean, I think it's kind of cool how easy they've made it to do any of those things as an option, because there are, like, plenty of people out there who are, you know, excited to stream every game that they do. You know, they have a Twitch, like, a big Twitch following or something. So instead of having to buy, like, additional hardware to, like, you know, some HD recorder or something, then they can do it straight through. They can do it straight through the console. And stream that way, or, you know, any of the sharing stuff too. But I don't know. I think it's just the availability of it that is kind of cool. As long as it continues to be supported and updated.
Yeah. I think as long as it's kind of like an add-on and not really the focus, then I have no problem with it.
Yeah. At Cyberpunk Nut, he said, have the social features affected the way you game? Not really. Just now, if I see something cool in the game I'm playing, I'll share it. I think that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just like, oh, this is cool. All right, I'll share it. Because it's just like one a press of a button and it's on Twitter. It's like...
Yeah, I think so. Also for like somebody like me, I think, like, 70% of my, like, social media network, I don't really want them to see what I'm playing. And we kind of talked about this earlier. But at the same time, like, you know, there are groups that I have or groups of, like, friends that I have that I do want to show. And, you know, we have, like, different consoles and different games. And I think it's cool to be able to, like, integrate that well. It's still not that well integrated, right? But, like,
yeah,
with the fact that, like, computers and social media are, like, becoming sort of easy, even if you have to kind of take an extra step, like pictures or whatever, like fraps or however you want to like do it, you can do it quite easily now. I still think that's good. I mean, that's how I feel basically. I'm kind of like this in the same boat. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
I mean, I would love to stream my games, but I don't think anyone would watch them. That's the problem.
Yeah, I stream games sometimes.
I stream games sometimes, and then I realize like one person's watching, and then I realize I have my browser open with Twitch on.
Like occasions whenever Nick starts playing.
Yep. I'll stream stuff. I usually stream if I'm like playing co-op with somebody or if I'm, I don't know, playing online.
I need to figure out how to green screen myself and make it look like I'm like actually in the game.
Just put a giant green tarp behind your head.
That's what I'm gonna do. So once I figure that out, I'll start streaming again.
Alright.
I don't know if you guys saw that picture. It was kind of like a block comic of the the evolution of multiplayer, you know, and the first block is, oh, we'll pass the controller off, you know, we each play, I'll play, and then you'll play. The next block is, oh, we can play two player at the same time, you know, we can do co-op. And the next block is, we can do four people, and, you know, they're all sitting on the couch playing. And then it's like, oh, we can play online, you know, you can stay at your house and play here. And then, like, the final evolution is, oh, I'm just going to sit here and watch someone else play. You know, I'm going to sit and watch someone stream.
So true, though.
Experienced that firsthand at Ryan's house. He was like, what is happening right now? Why are we watching Dota?
And you're like, we're like watching Dota, and then we're listening to someone who's not even playing talk about it.
And then like a play-by-play, and I couldn't understand a word that he was saying. He's like, and then he does this, and then he does that, and oh my god. And I'm just like, oh god.
You missed it when we turned on the Chinese guy. He was awesome. He was like, oh my god, he did it again, the king is coming, the king! He just starts yelling out shit that has nothing to do with the game. He's like, bow down to the king! I'm like, why does he sound Indian now? I'm confused. You know?
You know, I think that kind of speaks to the, you know, how much gaming has grown over the years. I think, and you know, and I think it still exists to an extent, but gaming was kind of like a closet hobby that a lot of people just kind of did and didn't, you know, like if you played games, it was like, oh, what's wrong with you? But now it's become so mainstream that, you know, we have outlets to share on Facebook built within our consoles. It's just kind of crazy to think about.
It's not something to hide. It's something to say, I played this sweet game and got to blow people's heads up.
Express yourself.
Well, it's becoming more socially acceptable, so...
Yeah. Teach yourself. Yeah.
Well, I think that brings us to our top five this week, which has nothing to do with anything.
It has something to do with the ZeniMax thing. It got me thinking about intellectual property, and then I was just like...
Charles vomited on a page.
And then all this stuff came out.
This is the Charles Segway episode.
Top literally five no connection. Most prodigiously ripped off games. By that, I mean games that have been, like, pieces of them have been stripped out, used for other games, manipulated, refurbished, and then just spewed out across the spectrum of other games. So the number one thing that I put down here, just because I've been hearing this on commercials, is Mario. The Mario music and kind of the symbolism of Mario, which are like pipes and shells and stuff, being used for everything. The one I heard was like a Home Depot commercial, and the Mario music was playing, and these guys jumping on pipes, and I'm like, what the hell is this pipe? But it was off-brand, too, so it's like off-beat. It's not do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then he jumps and he goes, boing, boing. It's like everything is off about it. But
oh yeah. I know which commercial. It's like 2D side scroller. Yeah, well, it's like exactly. A side scroller. Yeah,
it's like save some money, and then he jumps at the end, and it's like he's grabbing the flag, but he's at the cash register, and I'm like, oh my god, this is such a ripoff of Mario.
God, dude. That just makes me feel old that we've gotten to the point where Home Depot is like appealing to people who played Mario.
Yeah.
Plus there's that other game that just was a total ripoff that the guy shut it down because it was a rip-off. Not because it was a rip-off of Mario, but he didn't want the success, right? That game was just about
Flappy Birds. Flappy Birds coming back.
Flap-a-dap.
Well, now they have Flappy Plane, Flappy Tomato, Flappy Flapjack. You got them all.
Flappy Flapjack.
Flap your Flapjack, Jack. But yeah.
But I mean, that one was pretty blatant. They just like stole the art directly from Mario.
Totally. Right. There's so many of those. It's everywhere.
And there's like a million Mario clones that are like 99-cent iPhone games. That are it's like Mario and
Princess. Well, I think that's kind of like I guess it depends on like how strict you want to be, because I feel like there's like a lot of original, like Mario was kind of one of the original platformers, then a lot of consoles took that idea and you know, kind of rebranded it, and then, you know, it might be something different. Like, I think you can make a case for a lot of different games that are basically just a reskin Mario.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my point. It's prodigiously ripped off. I mean, it's not necessarily the same game, but just the concept has been taken the furthest based on one game. So.
Number two.
I put this down there just because...
You put them all down there! No, I'm just kidding.
Because where Mario was the side-scrolling, I feel like Zelda was the game that was the kind of like the basis for adventure. Though I'm sure there were others that Zelda may have ripped off. And same thing with a few of these others. I think it's not just one. It's wherever there's like some success, somebody will build on it. And then if there's great success, then there'll just be a slew of like copycats that'll just come and try to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think for our generation, Zelda was like, for a lot of kids, it was the first like real RPG item-based game that a lot of us experienced. You know, the game where you like got new swords and stuff that you kind of built up, and you collected life and stuff. It was a pretty big departure from a lot of other games at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first game where you could save your progress and like come back, and there was like puzzles, and there was a main theme, and it was even like, intentionally kind of made like ambiguous when you start. Like they almost like purposely made the game like not have a linearity to it. I mean, it does, but like you just start and you're just there, and you don't even have a sword. You have to like go get it, and it's like very like odd. And, I mean, I think that's more of a testament to the game just being so awesome that it spawned all these type of other games, but at the same time, like, there are still a lot of games that, like, try to, like, take the guy with the green outfit on and the sword fighting in the woods, like, it gets used a lot.
And the sword, and the upgrade to the sword, and it's pretty much the exact, like, the Master Sword, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Master. Number three.
This is a good one.
World of Warcraft.
Wow. Yeah.
Steve, you take this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, World of Warcraft is, like we said before, is obviously like built upon a lot of other games that came before it, so it's probably... It's kind of in the middle ground on this list, but at the same time, there's been a lot of games that have taken the style of WoW, and I mean, it's almost become like verbiage now in the gaming community. Like a WoW clone is now like what you call a game. Yeah. You're like, oh, this game is such and such WoW clone. Like it's just part of like your language, and it also, this is another like testament to how good a game is. It's like everything is like. Measured in WoWisms, like is it a 0.8 WoW? Is it a 0.9 WoW? Like nothing can ever like be that good, or has ever been that good. And anything that like wants to be good has to sort of be like this at some level, like even if it's at a base level, and then to go beyond it. So WoW, I mean, every MMO that's come out since WoW is basically a WoW clone. I mean, I don't know if that's their fault, but it's just basically what it's been like, you know? It's like, if it's not WoW, it sucks. If it's a WoW clone, it's okay, depending on how good it is, basically.
Yeah, I think when I mean when WoW originally came out, it was essentially an EverQuest clone, and a lot of the WoW team were developers from EverQuest, and I think that I think what set WoW apart was that they didn't try, like, there wasn't as much of an effort to, like, beautify, but to overload graphics. So it kind of, you know, when it came out, it was still relatively graphically intensive, but it, you know, it was kind of, they dulled the textures and the shadows were horrible. Like, they weren't worried about that. They were just worried about gameplay and perfecting that and giving a good experience. And since then, that, you know, I think that whole part of it has been lost on developers who've kind of like tried to create the WoW clone. They basically just saw an art style and said, "We gotta make a game that has the same art style, that has the same XP and quest system." And they just try to hammer that in as hard as they can. And it's just that's not how WoW is successful. But I think that that's a common theme among everything on this list is that. Whenever there's a game that's super successful, people are going to try to make copies of it, and they're going to try to repeat that success, but it's a failed logic.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, the reason why these games were successful is because they took something, and then they made something completely new, and it was awesome. If you just do the same thing, gamers are very, like, with the exception of certain things, and even with certain things like Call of Duty, people are very, like, they get sick of the same shit. Like, it needs to be better. It needs to be different. Otherwise, it's just exactly the same. I mean, I'll just go back and play the other game if it's exactly the same as the other game.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, WoW did some stuff with, you know, integrating people that were bad at MMOs and making them okay at them. I mean, it was very forgiving compared to, like, all the older games where you just die and lose everything and then you're just screwed. And, you know, it wasn't about graphics, it was about gameplay. It wasn't about role-playing. And I think a lot of old MMOs, were very Dungeon and Dragon-y's. Like, you had to, like, be that character, you had to be in the world and be immersed. And WoW was like, you know, this is a video game, and they made it a video game. And that was, I think, how they... I mean, you could still role-play in WoW, and people still do this, but, like, that wasn't the priority. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the priority of the game. It wasn't trying to feel like you're an orc and talk like an orc. I mean, like, the other games literally had languages that you could, like, speak in, and, like, it was so overcomplicated. And I think WoW actually had this for a while. I don't know.
It did.
But
anyways, yeah, I think they still do.
They still do.
So, I mean, I think that's an homage to, like, the good old days. But at the same time, their focus was way more on making it fun, making it enjoyable for people who otherwise probably would never play an RPG or an MMO.
Number 4. Halo? Question mark.
Question mark.
I put the question mark mostly because I wasn't sure to what extent. Like, I feel like if it was a first-person shooter that kind of came before Halo, that really precursored it. But when I started thinking about it, I mean, there's obviously some like Counter-Strike, but I don't know whether those necessarily precipitated like the entire genre of like intensive sci-fi shooting games. Like, I feel like Halo just kind of exploded it out where it wasn't just a shooter, but it was a multiplayer sci-fi shooter where aliens were involved and all this nonsense.
Well, I mean,
I think...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think Halo is kind of like... to me, it's like this operatic space, you know, phenomenon that kind of melded like GoldenEye with like Star Wars, and it was very unique in its delivery, and I think that's what made it successful, because it kind of took the couch co-op elements that we had grown up with and then mixed in like this huge epic thing, and it was very different than everything else that had been out before it.
It was also
but,
the first,
you know, obviously, anything like that is gonna be you know, mimicked,
right? I mean, and it was really the first like working like past 4-person multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we used to have 16-person like LAN parties on the original Xbox, like it worked. You know, the game ran smoothly. And I think that just gave way, it maybe not necessarily Halo as a story, but Halo as like a, you know, as a game and as a
vehicle to what multiplayer is now. To more
I mean, first person shooters, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think console first person shooters would be much different or be much, I mean, would definitely be much smaller. I mean, I'm not going to say non-existent, but I'm saying I think Halo and, you know, GoldenEye also, I mean, it's not really related to this, but Halo, I think, revived it a lot because to be able to play on multiple screens and that kind of stuff was just, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could make a case that Halo was what made the Xbox.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I don't even think that that's a, I don't even think that that's a questionable statement because I don't think that there really would have been that much. I mean, it was like one of those things where we're like when people argued about like, oh, the PlayStation 2 is better, the Xbox better. It was always like shot down immediately when someone had an Xbox at a party. Like it was like your thing can't do this, and everyone's like, awesome, like you know, just like, and that was pretty much. I mean. Everyone loved PlayStation, and
the Xbox
I'm not was trying to like
PlayStation 2. Question.
Yeah, I mean,
well, certain
things,
like,
yeah,
for like social.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the Halo was the GoldenEye of that generation, and that's you can't beat that.
Yeah. Number five. There's quite a few games that kind of just rode that out, even though they were still pretty. They were still very good. Like Crysis, like, I think, is pretty comparable. Like in how it's orchestrated the storyline to what Halo is. Granted, the Crysis is more just about like really ramping, beating the hell out of your computer. But there's so many games that came after that, just kind of same formula.
What was that game for a PlayStation that was it Killzone? It was kind of like it was meant to be like the PlayStation version of Halo.
Killzone.
I mean, it was a bad game. It's just, you know, but I think everyone knew that was kind of, that's what they were going for.
Yep.
Definitely. Number five.
Diablo.
This is an easy one. And another Blizzard title. Diablo, by far. This basically created and set the third person, like, top-down adventure game style. Clicky adventure style, right? Because, I mean, there's obviously Zelda and stuff we talked about, but there's been so many Diablo clones, it's, like, ridiculous. I can just go... Titan's Quest, I mean, even right now...
Oh,
What's out right... I mean, Torchlight, for sure, but there's another
Path
one out...
Exile.
Path of Exile is one I was thinking of. I mean,
even
like, there's...
Even Bastion, to some extent, is, like... I mean...
Basically, yeah, I mean, that's the style of the game, right? I mean, it's got... It's not what makes it good, but... But yeah, I mean that's that whole genre. Like, and if you like ever play those games, like you kind of like ask yourself like, why am I playing this style of game? And it's like it's Diablo basically. Like nobody was like, oh, you know what? I want to make a game, and how do I want to make it? I want to make it like this weird thing where you click. No, it's like I just want to make it like Diablo, and then that's how they make it. It's like the definition of a ripoff. Or I think ripoff is probably like kind of a harsh word, but it's a definition of like. Stealing a style, taking that style, and then like you know, building your game around it.
Yeah, I think you can even make a case for games like Borderlands. You know, it's the style of like endless game, or I mean, not endless, but like a, you know, the as far as you're concerned, the game is never over. You can constantly go and like upgrade your items and
the loot system, the coloring of like rarity is like almost like directly related.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's just. I mean, yeah. And Blizzard rips itself off, so like some of that stuff is sort of like taken from another game in Blizzard,
totally.
And then they steal it, and so maybe it's not just Diablo, but I think the style itself, like for sure, just that like top-down clicky adventure game has been like repeated a bajillion times, and like people are still trying to make games like Diablo, and no one can do
and
it.
The monster
no one can make,
stylings
I mean,
and hero stylings of Diablo.
Sure.
I mean, granted, for a lot of that, it's just based off like other stuff like D&D and some of that. But once you put it into a game like Diablo, it's set and everyone's like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, that's how a skeleton is supposed to attack. That's how these little demons are supposed to come out of nowhere and maul you. Like, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think also the kind of like the itemization and gear design from like Diablo 1, Diablo 2, it kind of defined a generation of RPGs and how they would, you know, and certainly that existed in like D&D. I mean, that existed for a long time, but the, you know, the, like Steve said, the color coding and also kind of the, I think like the endless grind is something that is pervasive in games nowadays. There's this idea that you need to continue to get better gear and work and like, you know, it becomes a job more than a game. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that kind of originated with Diablo.
Yeah. And the role system where you have like chests that give you chances at items and like champions that give you chances at items and things like that. It's all the same. I mean, Borderlands has that and that's a Diablo thing. Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
Well, sweet. I think that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've been playing.
Speaking of Diablo, I've been playing Diablo.
I saw that the expansion was on sale. I almost bought it. I spent too much money. Oh, it was, I think, I don't know if it was a coupon I saw or something. It was like, I think around like 30, in the 30s, like 35 or something.
Coupon
it was like
Rite Aid magazine, Steve picked it up.
Yeah, it was something. I didn't want to cut it out. I don't know. No, I saw, maybe it was 40. I mean, it was like down to a reasonable price where I was kind of like, but I didn't budge.
Yeah, I think if you, you know, if you're interested in it, you know, it'd be good. I mean, personally, I know WildStar is coming out, so I'm retiring it now, but I think if you played it a while back, now I feel like now would be a good time to come back because they just recently there's loot 2.0. First of all, now they upped the legendary drop rate to, you know, double what it was. So like if you want to get back to the game and get geared out and just grind and blow things up, you know, now's the time to join.
Okay.
But yeah,
cool.
Steve, what are you playing?
I just got a new computer in my office, funded by my department, funded by my research, so it's pretty sick. It's like sick rig, and it's not supposed to be for gaming, but obviously like I picked gaming type things to put in it, which is super awkward because every time it boots up, it says like gaming. It's like MSI gaming. It has, like all the heat sinks are like, it's an MSI like board, and all the heat sinks are like shaped like dragons and shit. Like, I tried to get like the most plain case, you know. Anyways, I just set that up, and it's amazing. Like all the frames are so nice. It boots in like literally 2 seconds. It restarts in like 7 seconds. It's like insane. And I got that, and my video card came with a copy of Watch Dogs, so I actually booted that up, and I started, but I didn't really have time. It looks really cool. I didn't really know the concept, so I'm probably going to play that this week, and I'll probably have more about my opinions of it, but it looked really cool. The graphics looked really nice, and the concept seems pretty sweet, so I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Although I had to buy it, or I had to like play it through Ubisoft's like download client thing, and like they're like it's Uplay. Yeah, it's so dumb. It's like
Uplay.
It's like everyone's like, oh, you know, like Steam. We want to have our own Steam. It's like, just give me the Steam code. Like, it's like, who cares? I don't like why is me playing on like Origin or Steam or anything like any better or worse? Right? It's like is anyone like, oh, I hate Steam. This thing sucks. I'm so glad I got this thing on Uplay.
Yeah, well, I think from their perspective, they can, you know, they don't have to pay a royalty.
Exactly.
Steam, you know, so it's purely money.
And then the other thing too is that they can market their games like in their thing to you, and like then you buy it to their thing. It's just like, yeah, I understand it, but I mean, you can buy it through Steam. Like, you can buy the game through Steam, but if I bought it from them, like, through them, I can't play it on Steam. Like, it's just so, like I can't, I have to, like, integrate it, like, manually or something, right? Like, it's just so annoying.
That's fun. Yeah.
But anyways, that's that. That's that for me.
Charles.
Well, for the past 2 weeks, I haven't been able to really do much. I played Titanfall a few times, but we closed in our condo on Thursday, so between that and going to a pig roast barbecue, or I ate a ham shank and drink like a gallon of beer and play that many games.
Normal Charles weekend.
They literally took like a pig shoulder and put it on my plate and were like, eat this.
That's excellent.
Just chewing the pig. Chewing the pig.
I've been playing Wolfenstein The New Order, which I'm very into right now. It's, you know, it's a first person shooter, so the shooting mechanics are actually, you know, they're pretty good. But the storyline is actually really interesting, and you know, it's the whole alternate reality if the Nazis actually won World War II. It's cool, and, you know, that's the Wolfenstein kind of world or whatever, but the like the story, there's actually emotion that you get from the characters, and you know, you're following BJ Blazkowicz or whatever through the whole thing, and it's like I don't know. I'm surprised at how like actually connected to the characters I am, and the decisions that you have to make, and it's, you know, it's gory. You can, you know, dual wield stuff and destroy people, and there's robot dogs that are like friggin', you know, 15 tons, and it's ridiculous, but they actually do like they use a lot of like actual historical facts as part of it too, you know, like what the Nazis did scientifically, and like you know you kind of, if you didn't know it before, then you might not pick up on it, but it's like some of the experiments that they did actually occur, and it's kind of like this, you know, what the results of those experiments were, and like how it's changed everything, and there's like newspaper clippings everywhere, so it gives like newspaper clippings of like after World War II, so you have an idea of like what's happening around the world, and I don't know, it's cool, it's good, so I definitely suggest it if anybody's looking to play it.
Yeah, it's on my list.
And then I have Watch Dogs coming tomorrow, so I still have to finish. I have like 8 more chapters of Wolfenstein, though, so that'll keep me much too busy.
Sweet. Very good.
But that brings us to the end of our podcast. I want to thank at Keep On Running, at CyberpunkNut, and our friend Corey Jackson. All of them are our friends for writing in. Thank you very much. I want to thank all of our listeners. We just hit 1,000 followers today on Twitter, so thank
you. You get a car! You get a car!
So thank you guys for following us, and you know, encourage other people to listen too, because that's helpful. But yeah, thank you everyone. Thank you Tim, thank you Steve, thank you Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 38. And it is 12:30 in the morning, so we're going to bed. Do you have it?
Suck so bad, so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Why? Because it sounds still messed up or whatever? Yeah. I don't know what I did to it. Well, I did have to do... Oh, great. Just shattered a glass.